This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kenny, happy Feast of the Assumption.
Oh, really?
You coming? You coming tonight?
Oh, I'm not allowed. I was told I wasn't allowed. I was told I was uninvited. Or not even uninvited. The invitation to the Feast of the Assumption wasn't extended to me. We'll do it right now.
It's not the old days, Kenny.
You don't fit the prereqs.
What are you trying to say there, Kenny?
He fits some of them.
Well, some,
not all of them. It used to be. There was, let's just say, clear lack of diversity back in the day for the feast.
Lack of diversity.
But things have changed. Things have changed to some extent. Things have changed.
I asked you last week if I could go with you at some, or not. I didn't even say go with you. I said, how did I put it? Because this is how it went. This is off air. I had said I was going to the Corn Festival. And I said, Lima, you're more than welcome to go. I mean, everybody loves the Corn Festival out there in Ridgeville, which was a great time again. And then you were like, oh, God, I got the feast next week. Which it seems, honestly, it seems like there's 8 feasts a year out there. But I was like, oh, man, maybe this year I finally get to go. And Lima goes, no. Nah. And does that very dismissive again. I wish there was a webcam in here so you could see his face.
Anybody can go, Ken. Anybody can go. There's no invitation. You just show up. And you cram your face full of gnocchi, pasta, whatever. Cannoli.
What?
You could do the Clemenza scene.
More wine! More wine!
Keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
So, was that his Russian-Italian accent?
I don't know. I just thought of something. He was drunk. Okay, what do you want?
Well, that's everybody, the whole movie.
Just gives him the picture.
The whole saga.
Probably my favorite member of the family. My favorite in The Godfather. Clemenza.
Not Luca Brasi as his eyes are wide open getting strangled.
You know, that's one that stays with you.
Getting the knife through the hand.
You just did this, the dismissive no. And I went,
well, I didn't think you'd really go. It's a little out of your way from where you are.
It's Little Italy.
Yeah, but it's not the easiest thing to get to.
There's a lot of places on the east side that are just like on different planets to a lot of people.
Case Western, the hospitals. You'd think the hospitals, you want them to be a little easier to get to.
Yeah,
our hospital's really hard to get to.
That whole area just sucks as far as trying to get to. It's not even, nowhere close to a freeway.
No.
You gotta go off like Carnegie or Chester to get there. And then every other road intersects in like one area. There's like a circle with like 6 roads intersecting.
They screwed up 490. Well, 490 should have kept going and then routed right up through there. I think that was the original plan.
This is your Super Bowl. I mean, you love the feast and you talk about going to the feast every year and you go every day of the feast. You're like the mayor of the feast.
Well, I'm going to miss the second Browns preseason game. I mean, I'll watch it, but I will not be there. It's a home game, and I'll be at the feast.
You're not going to watch it. You might watch
it. No, we watch it every year.
Okay.
Every year. We have a place where
at
we go.
At the feast?
Grandma Corky's. We go right upstairs, and we watch it while she cooks all the – there's lobster.
Are you like John Gotti above the gentleman's club? Or no, the social club?
It's very old school over there.
Old lady's apartment?
It's very old school. But we watch it there every year, and then we overreact to – I think Brandon Whedon went off 1 year. Jake DeLome went off 1 year, and we're like, Browns are looking good.
Well, who usually goes to the feast with you?
Well, we just kind of all meet up there. But we have a few different places
Jim,
to go.
Does Jim go? Because Jim doesn't look Italian.
No, he's not. But he's got kids this year.
I don't know. We might have to dump that one.
I have a bunch of buddies. I have a bunch of buddies that are there.
He doesn't look Italian.
He's not allowed to go.
What do Italians look like, Kenny?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Do you judge us by our nose?
No. No.
Oh, pizza face Lima.
My wife's Italian. Thank you very much.
Drum up all the stereotypes. That's fine, Kenny.
Yeah.
I've told you this
do
before.
Do what you do best, Ken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Oh, you and Apollonia?
Yeah. By the way, let's be honest. Apollonia was way better looking than Kay. I was devastated when that car blew up.
I was going to say, before or after the blow up.
Even after the blow-up, she was better looking than Kay.
You know, she's got to get her days of the week down. It'll take her forever. It's not that hard. Just get it down. We got Fox 8 showing some love.
They're showing it. I'm glad you get to go to the feast. I'm glad you get to be the mayor of the feast today.
You know what, though? I don't know if I'll go today. Today's Wednesday.
You'll go.
It's just not as much fun. Now, today's the day if you want to casually walk around with your family. Wednesday's the day to go.
No, folks, don't make me drink.
Yeah, don't make me drink or dance.
Enjoy today with Lima because tomorrow he's going to be a mess because we're going golfing after like right after the show, and then he's going to the feast. So I'm basically going to have to do the whole show by myself tomorrow. I already know.
How's that different from most days?
At least you can plan ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you have fun there.
Oh, tonight. That Josh says they're in the process of building the freeway called the Opportunity Corridor.
Ah.
How about they take the opportunity and finish something before 20 years? So what, they're just going to rip through 8 existing neighborhoods to get there? Sorry, hope you don't have any homes in this neighborhood.
Well, someday you'll allow me to come to the feast.
Eminent domain. It's a beautiful thing.
So did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
First 10 minutes was awesome.
It kind of got a little, I will say, it was very dramatic. Not every show can be a tour de force, I understand. Mm. It was very dramatic at the beginning, and then it kind of, it didn't peter out or anything. You were watching the Browns. You were watching football.
Well, they can't.
So.
They can't, I'm looking, and I'll use it for a point later in the
maybe
show.
People,
I went back and did some research, which I hate to do, as anybody who listens to this show knows. But I went and looked at last year's 10 takeaways from the Tampa Bay Bucks on Hard Knocks. I wanted to compare because that was boring. That entire season was boring. Like a lot of people said, we're done with Hard Knocks. They've done everything there is to do.
Yeah.
Then the Browns come through and it's storyline. You know, guy gets pulled over after hours. Guy gets traded. And then we'll talk about all this today. The number one overall pick scenario.
They had the
Todd
video
freaking Haley.
Of a pullover with Antonio Callaway, which was, that was...
But they also want to tell a bit of a story and introduce you to some characters like they did with Kajuiced.
Yep.
Who I don't even know if he's going to make the team. Probably he's not. And he's fighting through an injury.
Well, yeah, but now you're rooting for him because you met the family. Yeah. The dads had, good God. How many heart attacks can you have over there?
What do you have? 3 heart attacks? 2 strokes?
Yeah. He's got like 2 younger siblings, like very young. So you start rooting for him. Mm-hmm. So this is what HBO does.
Especially when you see him playing through injury.
Yeah. Well, he's holding his shoulder.
Which that's one of the themes of the 2 episodes. It's like, do you play through the injury? Do you not play through the injury? That's the catch-22. Oh. Everybody, all the smartasses at home have an answer. Oh, I know what I would do. I would never play with an injury and then cost myself. Or the other side of that is, oh, man, I'm going to be a tough guy. And I'm going to play. And then Jarvis Landry's going to love me.
And then there's reality where
these aren't easy, guys.
I'm on the bubble. I may not even make the team. I better play through.
Yeah, I'm on TV. I'm on national television on Hard Knocks. And I think a lot of people are doing the Monday morning quarterbacking, and in this case, on Wednesday mornings, the last 2 weeks, acting like there is there's one way to go about doing this. This is a science. All these coaches are guessing because as a coach, I don't know how injured you are. You're telling me you're injured. My trainers, I have to trust them. Trainers don't always get it right. Doctors, okay, I'll listen to them.
Yep.
But in the end, if a player says he's going to go, he's going to go. And that, to me, is an overarching theme of this entire thing as you get a really cool behind-the-scenes look at this.
I don't even think it's Hard Knocks. I think it's camp in general. Yeah. And
well, ask people in Maryland. Ask them.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock, I have to defend Hugh Jackson a bit. And I don't really necessarily want to, but I have to because I saw some things yesterday that were ridiculous about the type of camp or what was said about the type of camp that was run. And I'm sorry, but we're going to have to talk about something Didi put out there because it didn't look good. It didn't look good on her account, but we'll get to that coming up at 7
o'clock. What, her making fun of me on Twitter?
No, not that.
Oh, that was
I was already
awesome.
Annoyed. I like that. If it's your thing, it's your thing. I'm open minded. If you like Dungeons and Dragons, you go do your Dungeons and Dragons. Whatever, it don't matter. I just don't get sneaker culture. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I'm not like they show Corey Coleman, and it's like a hallway full of shoes, man. I'm going really. I don't get it. Like we have Scott Sargent who's over at WFNY. Man, it's just the new sneakers, and they get on what is a sneaker website. where you're like on a waiting list.
And then they come and it's all about the packaging. So now you're not even hoarding the sneakers anymore.
You have to hoard the boxes, the whole thing.
Watches and everything.
It's honestly because baseball cards, people don't collect them anymore. Like you talk to Bull or you talk to Panda, who are big baseball card collectors, like the market fell out. Nobody collects them anymore. Now it's shoes. And remember before with baseball cards, you had to keep them in a binder and everything had to be right and it had to be safe. And now it's just moved on to shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't wear the shoes. And he had how many different pairs of shoes? I'm going, man, I don't get the culture of it.
And every athlete has a room now just for the shoes.
For the shoes. Which, okay, if you're going out, if you're stepping out, you got some Gators or something like that, that's fine. But it's all just, I got this many things of Jordans and all these of LeBrons and all the other thing. I'm going, man, this is, all right, if that's your thing, that's your thing. I just don't get it, and I don't understand. And they showed that, and everything seemed to be hunky-dory with Corey Coleman. And then things, they took a very quick turn.
Corey, what's happening, sports fan?
Why am I running second team?
What did you say?
Why am I running second team? That's crazy to me.
Go get started and go ask Todd.
If you don't want me to play, why won't y'all just trade me?
And then we started the show. And that certainly foreshadowed everything, which we got to ask Tim Rumpf today at 8:40, who's the director of Hard Knocks. Do they follow him? Are they allowed to send a camera with him?
I think they also want to be in good taste. I don't think they want to. I mean, there might have been some really emotional moments that would have been really good for TV, but might not have been fair to him.
I understand that, but I mean in Buffalo, because for episode 3, they're going to show Buffalo coming to town on Friday. Corey Coleman's going to be there with Buffalo. I'm just asking, do they send a camera out to Buffalo during this trade? Like, okay, well, it looked like they were going to feature Corey Coleman to some level, and they were showing his shoes. They were at his house, and like, nope, get out of here. Pack your bleeping. Get out.
I would say they don't follow him out there because the Hard Knocks is about the Cleveland Browns. And then you're not traveling out to Buffalo to follow a player that's a former Brown. Now, when they come here, they probably will pull him aside and get some interviews or something and maybe mic him up during the game. But as far as following his trip to Buffalo and trying to adjust there.
The NFL's an entertainment business, and if the Bills, it's probably up to the Bills to allow such things. If the Bills allow it, they probably won't. But if the Bills allow it, I'd say get a camera in his face and do it because I'm all about the entertainment. I mean, seriously, sometimes we pray at the altar of football too much. You're there for our entertainment. So, you're there for fans' entertainment. They pay money to see you. They pay money on cable packages to watch you. Sorry, this is part of the business.
So how about the day after the Corey Coleman gets traded? We had a conversation in here, and we're speculating on what could have happened because some people, we had the Evan Silvas of the world going, you just gave him away. You know, this is a big-time prospect that should have at least gotten something in return, somebody who had potential.
Evan Silva told us that the Bills fleeced him again.
Yeah, the Bills fleeced him. And then I asked the simple question, how do we know he didn't barge into an office? Well, he barged into an office. I mean, legitimately, that's exactly what he did is he barged into an office. He's not the worst guy in the world. No one's saying Corey Coleman's the worst guy in the world. And we only saw a snippet there. There might have been more conversation there where he said, Coach, I've been showing up on time. I've been doing everything you've asked. But all we're going to see, just based on the creative editing of HBO and Hard Knocks, is going to make it as awkward as humanly possible and make it clear cut that the coaching staff and personnel had to get rid of him.
Well, I'll make it clear. I don't get... The sneaker thing always annoys me, but I've never had a cross. I've interviewed Corey Coleman numerous times. There's never been a crossword. He's always had a good attitude. He's always been nice. You hear some of the stuff about the nightlife stuff and things like that. I can't deny any of that.
Oh, so he's an athlete?
But he's always been nice to us. He's always been nice to me. He's been snake bitten a little bit. I do think he has some talent. I just don't know if he's ever going to get to it. That I think that's me being fair, and I don't think I'm talking trash about the guy going out the door.
Injuries at inopportune times.
Yeah. And when you're trading him for a 7th-round pick, again, I don't need to talk trash about you going out the door. That the entire NFL knows what everybody in this transaction really thinks of you. You have Brandon Bean saying that, well, this is a low-risk thing, and we'll see what happens. That's not really the greatest endorsement that you've ever seen. What did stick out as well, when they were still doing the wide receiver stuff, is Antonio Callaway, and you see that this felt to me, this is such, and maybe you're thinking differently, this is just immaturity every single way through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That he's terrified, and you can tell from Hugh even paying attention to something here, at least how this is framed, that they knew something might be on his mind. They just didn't know what it was.
What's up, Levin? You all right? What's wrong? I can look in your eyes. What's wrong? Talk to your boy. You straight? All right. If I'm not, you know where my office is. I told you.
That I swear to God, that reminded me of me having detention and not wanting to tell my dad. I swear to God, I'm not even trying to make a joke. That was me, first grade, having to get my detention slip signed by my dad, and me afraid to tell him. And he's like, "What's the matter? Is something on your mind? You're not telling me something. What's going on?" Like, that's what that sounded like. And I mean, Todd Haley, he even talked to Antonio Callaway at practice. This is what he was talking to him.
What cut is that?
Oh, wait, excuse me. This is 9. Sorry, give me 9. Yeah, okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Said 16. Yeah, said, that's not Haley.
Everybody, sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
Need a hug or anything? You okay?
No, I'm good.
You able to keep things black and white out here? All right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember all those talks we had back a few months ago? You look like a puppy dog. You look like a little puppy dog. Come on. We need you. We need you. This is very important. Everything will work out the way it's supposed to. Okay? You can't kind of try to control all of that. The guy upstairs controlling that. You just take care of what you can handle, which is trying to be the best you possibly can be.
Then you got that. Again, the immaturity thing comes in. This is a guy who, boy, he was holding a secret and was afraid to tell anybody anything there. So they handled it. You can argue whether or not they handled it the right way, whether or not he should have been playing, shouldn't have been playing. They handled it. Hopefully everybody can move on, because that one is that one's scary. That's a little bit scary. You can tell he's terrified to tell anybody, and he knew something was going to go down. 216-578-0092. Again, that audio courtesy Hard Knocks. Coming up next, we have this. We have possibilities of certain somebody's visiting the Browns on Thursday, which I might be excited about. And Trevor Bauer, that's a scary injury. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman with About Last Night coming up next on The Fan.
We start out with baseball. Corey Kluber, another strong performance, giving up just one earned in 7 innings. Didn't make the big mistake like he did the outing before. 5 hits, only walked 2. Indians easily taking care of the Reds, 8-1. Kluber's 15th win of the season. Now the Indians have won 9 of 11, 6 straight series, and now just 4 back. This is what you have to watch now the rest of the year with them, because their schedule is ridiculously easy the rest of the way. They're just 4 back in the loss column behind the Astros, who have run into some problems. Astros have some significant injuries, and we're talking, you know, some day-to-day injuries with them. And they are, obviously, their division much more competitive than what the Indians are facing the rest of the year. So this could be a situation where the Indians could snag an extra home game in the ALDS. Jose Ramirez hitting his 36th home run of the year, now one short of J.D. Martinez. And I'm watching this because I follow some Boston people on my timeline.
Yeah.
And after every Ramirez home run, it's MVP, case closed, done deal. After every J.D. Martinez home run, it's the Boston people. It's done. It's over. Best record in baseball. They don't ever lose. J.D. Martinez, MVP. Do you have any kind of a gut feeling what's going to happen with MVP?
I think it'll end up going to J.D. Martinez. It'll end up going to somebody with the Red Sox. I just think it's always geared that way. I've been trained to do that over time, that our guys just aren't going to get it. That's why I've always been surprised both times that Corey Kluber's won the Cy Young. Just, I always think it's going to go to somebody else.
I have that gut this year that I think Trevor Bauer's been better than Corey Kluber. I don't know what the advanced stats show. I'm just talking about my confidence level watching them. And I don't know that Trevor Bauer is going to get rewarded in his breakout year.
No. Nope. Now you have the injury here. I think that we could be sizing him up, and I want to bring this up at 6:40. I think we could be sizing him up for hopefully him redeeming himself from what happened with the drone a couple of years ago.
Will be nice.
I'll explain that coming up at 6:40.
So you mentioned Trevor. He's going to the disabled list. Question is, how many starts is he going to miss? He's been diagnosed with a stress fracture in his lower right leg. We'll tell you what that means in a second in terms of the call-ups and how they're going to go about formulating the rotation. But here is Chris Antonetti yesterday on STO explaining the situation.
So the MRI today revealed a stress fracture in his lower leg, and that was a result of that comebacker the other night. Initially, the x-ray that we performed the other day did not show that that stress fracture, but an MRI is a more thorough test,
right.
And on the MRI it did show that there was a stress fracture there, so he's going to miss some time. How much time, we're not exactly sure yet, but it'll be a few weeks.
So the end, the last sentence there is what would worry me a little bit, because Trevor Bauer doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to want to sit out and rest, especially when you have the Cy Young that he is chasing, and you can make the argument he's the leader, or he's certainly top two or three right now in the American League. So what should be the most important to him? For us, it's winning a World Series.
I think that's the same thing.
But Cy Young is Cy Young. Like, Cy Young is forever, too.
Well, yeah, but I think if we're signing, he's talking about signing one-year deals in his career because he never wants to play for a team that's not competitive. I think he'd do what's right if he was supposed to do it. The only thing that I think it is, I don't think it's necessarily Cy Young. It's his own constitution of what he thinks is right for his own body. He's always done it his own way. Now it's starting to prove itself out that his way is the right way for himself. And so I'm wondering if some people go, hey, you got to do this. And he's going, no, I feel a little bit differently. And sometimes when you gamble on yourself and your own body, because it is the body we never know, you can end up losing that way.
This is an interesting question. I wonder, I know fans here, and again, this might be a false choice. I mean, he might only be out 10 days. He'll be fine. He'll come back. And he'll be able to win the Cy Young and go to the playoffs. Who knows? But if you had a choice, is it to pitch for your team in the World Series or win Cy Young Awards? Clayton Kershaw has an NL MVP, and he has three Cy Young Awards. But what has he done in the postseason?
He was better this last year, but, they haven't won a World Series. I mean, you have guys like Don Larson who were okay pitchers but are known because he was a World Series. He threw a perfect game in a World Series. They won a World Series. They won World Championships. So that can be part of your legacy as well.
Like, do you think if a pitcher was honest, do you think they'd say, I would trade, if they only won one Cy Young Award, they would trade the Cy Young Award for a start and a win or a nice performance in the World Series? What do you think they would do? Like, Verlander pitched well but didn't win in the World Series last year, but his team won the World Series.
Is it part of a winning
World Series? So what's the most important thing?
Do you win the World Series?
It's not guaranteed.
Well, that's got to be part of it, because a Cy Young is a Cy Young, but a World Series, if I just have some good outings in a World Series and they lose, then it's still like, we did what we could, but we lost the World Series.
So if Trevor,
if you win the World Series, I think the World Series would trump.
What if you knew? Hold on. What if you knew? I wonder about that. I mean, the World Series is a team thing. Winning Cy Young is partly a team thing, but now more as years progress, it's you. Well, that's what we always ask those questions about, individual awards or team awards. What
matters
most?
Would you rather win an NFL MVP than a Super Bowl?
I don't think the NFL MVP is in that same stratosphere as like Heisman Trophy. Like, we ask every year, would you rather win
a national championship?
I think people would say Heisman Trophy every time. Make more money on a Heisman Trophy. Am I crazy? I mean, especially today where it's all about your brand, your individual brand. You make more money on your individual brand than you do team success all the time. Baseball's never been about individual. It's always been way more team. Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I've ever seen.
Well,
Didn't do crap. I heard that one.
I got to think for a second here. I think you actually have a point about the Heisman Trophy, because we're seeing more and more guys who are like professional high school players who go to like a few different high schools, IMG Academy, things like that. I think you're right. I think there's a little bit more where it's about me when it comes to college football. But in Major League Baseball, you're already a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're part of a World Series organization, that can carry for you. I think they'd still rather have a World Series. This is what you play for. This is what you do. I think, and by the way, I don't think you're going to get anybody to admit they'd rather have a Cy Young.
Of course. But
yeah.
You think athletes play for championships over money?
Oh, I think they play for money.
Well, how do you
Absolutely.
Get money?
Absolutely. But if you already have the chance to do that, and he's talking about his own personal edification of money and championships, or the chance of championships when he's talking about signing a one-year deal, I think Trevor Bauer would rather have the World Series.
Okay. I think you're right. I think it's going to be very hard for anybody to
ever admit
that.
Man, that's a great question, though, you bring up, boy.
And finally, Ben Roethlisberger in concussion protocol, sustaining a hit in Tuesday's practice. Mike Tomlin said in a statement, team doctors evaluating, he is now in the protocol. Does this give us a chance in week one? He wasn't really going to play much at all in the preseason
anyway.
Play
week one. He wasn't going to play much anyway. I think they have a chance anyway because week one's the sloppiest time of football. So I would still say that, yeah, you have a chance week one. I think they can win.
That's it for About Last Night.
That's now I'm going to be called a dummy. That's great. Wonderful rendition of About Last Night yet again. Coming up at 8:05, Alex Hooper will check in with us with the very latest with the Cleveland Indians, calling some people up at him. Plitko's going to make a start. A lot of things being moved around right now with Trevor Bauer's injury. Coming up next, Trevor Bauer, with that injury, he could become an all-time legend when this is over. We'll explain when we come back. 7 o'clock, I'm going to plead with you to give Hugh Jackson a break. I'm sure that's going to go well. I better turn off all my social media. Also, 9:20 this morning, Will Brinson going to be joining us because Lima had a provocative thought. He just noticed something, and I had to take it a step further. So you noticed something about Baker Mayfield and the rest of the first-round quarterbacks, and I could not help it. I was sitting there thinking yesterday, and I went, oh, I got a bad feeling about something. So I share that with you at 9 o'clock. Your chance to win $1,000 each and every hour from 7:05 on, starting at 7:05, but you must be hanging on every word or you shall be lost. Trevor Bauer going to be out now. It could be like a month. The right now,
have
he's
you
just
seen
on the 10-day.
Have you seen anybody say that?
Well, right now, according to, and I'm just looking up a couple of different things, it could end up being a month. It could end up being up to a few weeks. It just depends on how long it is. Right now, he's only on the 10-day DL.
Stress fracture in lower right leg.
So it says, fortunately, the fibula is a smaller bone. It could mean trouble, though, for a bit. And automatically, there's a few people going, well, they're 12 and a half games up, Ken. Well, I'm not worried about the division. I'm not worried about this right now.
Could catch Houston.
I
don't know if they'll need Trevor Bauer to catch Houston at this point.
I look at the Bovada odds, and I know. All you degenerates out there, I know. Because anytime you put the odds out, there's always going to be shots at the book that put the odds out. I'm just going by what I see, okay? You have the 6 best odds right now. Boston 7-2, they're the best. Then Houston, then the Dodgers, which I don't think the Dodgers even make the postseason right now, if it all ended today. The Yankees, the Cubs, and the Indians. Indians right now are 12-1. Their odds have improved from August 1st to August 14th. Their odds have improved to 12-1. They were 14-1. So you have the 6 best odds, followed by the Braves, the Brewers, the Phillies, and Diamondbacks. And then Oakland is back at 20-1, and they've been streaking like crazy lately for the most part. So your odds, now I don't, this is before the Trevor Bauer news broke, so it might be a little bit different. Your odds are still pretty good. My thought here is that with Trevor Bauer, and because he's different, because he does something, and this is hopeful, absolutely hopeful, but because he's a different type of guy, he's talking about keeping his arm ready, keeping everything limber, doing what he usually does, but obviously not being able to do everything because of where his injury is, that he might be able to come back and give you something. And then I'm trying to think about the big moment. You brought up the question about whether or not guys care about the World Series more, or they care about the personal glory because of the money that's involved with the personal glory. I think that's a great thing we can bring
up. And your part in MLB history.
Yeah, we can bring that up again. But for him, you can't tell me that during this time and what he was willing to do, where he was willing to, what, take an iron to his own hand to try to cauterize an injury that happened from the drone, you can't tell me that there isn't some guilt back there in that mind about that run and where he wasn't able to contribute to it because of the injury that happened to himself.
Sure.
So now this lays the groundwork, and you know I love a storyline. This lays the groundwork where if he comes back and you can get good outings out of him, where he comes back and he's good, maybe to the point of where he's already been this year, which it will make you nervous because he'll have some time off. I think that could be a huge thing where this has been an about face for the fan base this year, but you're looking at a guy who, if you can make a run and he's a part of it, he could be an all-time legend because That's storybook stuff. Because a stress fracture will turn into, oh, my God, he broke his leg and he was able to come back and you saw what he was able to do. I think that he will do his very best to come back and has the better chance out of anybody out there who would be hurt on the staff to contribute to your ball
game. Yeah, what stinks about the way the MLB postseason works is he could have one bad start in the ALDS and fans will turn on him again. One bad start and you lose the series and fans will be like, well, whole season's a waste. And we saw some of that with Corey Kluber last year. Corey Kluber, they changed the rotation, you know, how they actually approached the rotation. Then, you know, it didn't look right. Something was wrong. The question was whether he was injured or not. And then he wins the Cy Young. He wins the second Cy Young, which gets unveiled, what is it, after season?
Way after, yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, great, great. Where was that in the postseason? That's what stinks is that we're so fickle. And the way that it's such a small sample size in the ALDS is you're going to be playing the Houston Astros. Might even have home field now against them.
I think
but if he has a couple bad starts or doesn't look as dominant as he was all regular season, people are going to throw their hands up in the air and say, yep, still, you know, can't count on him.
I disagree. I think there's a bit of a difference here.
Oh, you think people won't say that?
With Trevor Bauer, I think that people know already that he's injured. So if he's out for a while, because, again, it depends on how it heals and how they want to bring him back. There's not going to be much left of the – if he takes more than 10 days, there's not going to be what's left in minor league baseball right now. Maybe a few weeks, that's it. So I don't know if you're going to have anything down where you can have a rehab start. That means it's going to be simulated games. You're going to be very careful with it because you have such a huge lead coming back. You'd love to get him back in regular season games, but I don't know if you're going to be able to put him in regular season games because you want to take care of it. You don't want to risk another injury here. And you don't want to risk any sort of problem from it coming because you need him so badly in the postseason.
Yeah, they have such a lead that his version of a spot start in the minors would be just him going up against Kansas City in the regular season. You'd be playing against a minor league team.
Understood. But if the Indians were to get to the postseason, they lose in the LDS, you're just going to be disappointed with the Indians in general. If they make some sort of a run, say they make a run, and Trevor Bauer goes out there, it's his first start back somehow, maybe it takes a while, and he gives you five innings and just kind of labors through it, and he's just not himself. Am I not going to be a little bit more understanding because I already knew about the injury and he's coming back from an injury? With Corey, it was a question. We didn't know. We still don't always know.
No, no one's.
You will always hear conflicting reports about whether or not his back was hurting or whether he was just having a bad night. So I think with Trevor, if there's an injury, there is a chance that fans, I think there will be some fans, obviously, who feel the way you do, but I think there's a lot of chances.
No, it's not the way I feel. It's not the way I feel. I know that no matter what, you know, Clayton Kershaw's not a bad pitcher because he's had bad playoff starts. I think that whole thing is so silly. I do think there's more pressure, obviously, in the playoffs, but you're going up against better lineups. Any guy can have a few things not go their way, and then all of a sudden you lose a playoff game. It doesn't mean you're a bad pitcher.
But I think
I don't think Corey Kluber's a bad pitcher because he hasn't pitched well in the postseason.
Yeah, I understand that, but you don't think people are going to be more understanding of Trevor Bauer?
No, I don't. No,
really?
No, especially because of what happened.
He got hurt playing. He didn't get hurt playing with the drone.
I know, but we're still you know a month and a half away. You know they're saying right now he's on the 10-day disabled list. No, I don't think that unless they rush him back and then he gets injured again.
Well, that's fine, but I still think that people will be a little bit more understanding about what he's done. And if they know about an injury, I think I can give him a little. Obviously, I want him to go out there and pitch well, but
the people that he's blocked on Twitter, the people that have gotten in political fights with him, they'll just go back to, didn't do it when it counted.
I disagree.
Really?
Some fans are going to do it just because of the politics of it. Fine.
That's exactly
what
I just
said. But I
don't
know if that's really going to be fandom.
That's exactly what I just said.
I think, though, the majority of Indians fans out there are going to look at it and go, well, he's injured. What else are we going to do here? Like, if you came back and you had one start and it was in the ALDS or ALCS and it just didn't go your way and you end up losing the ALCS, they go, well, you know, we can blame a lot of people. I don't know if we can blame Trevor Bauer. That's the way it goes. The guy got injured late in the season. He was coming back from a stress fracture. Maybe it didn't heal the way they wanted. Maybe they had to rush it back. Maybe they had to do a whole host of different things.
You're talking
about.
And
if he went out there and he pitched the best he could and it just didn't work out for him, I don't think I can blame him. I think I can blame a whole lot of other things.
Okay, you're talking about rational fans. I'm just telling you there will be other fans, the not so rational, who are going to say, yep, didn't do it when it counted.
I can't say that 100% of fans are going to agree with me. I'm just telling you that I think that the vast majority of fans would agree with that. I think there's something that a fan can respect about a guy who gets hurt and comes back and tries to help his team, his favorite team, win meaningful baseball games at the biggest time that they need it. And especially coming back from his history 2 years ago, I think that puts it in there where, yeah, there probably is some guilt that is somewhere in the back. Can't guarantee it because he is a difficult person to reach at times. But I think there's probably some guilt back there to his teammates, to his organization, to himself, that he wasn't able to go in that moment. I think it would be different this time around because I know that he's injured there. I'm not playing some guessing game. So we like those type of stories. Like you bring up Terrell Owens. How many times do we, what was it, Super Bowl 34? The Super Bowl where they went, I forget which one, where it was them against the Patriots and he played with the broken leg.
Yeah.
And he had a great game with the broken leg. And it wasn't his fault they lost. He said Donovan McNabb ran out of gas at the end of that game. And Donovan McNabb ran out of gas at the end of that game. Wasn't Terrell Owens' fault. And you can say everything you want to about T.O., but you know that he was great in that football game. And you can say anything you want to about Trevor Bauer, but if he goes out there and he tries his very, very best, I'm not going to be nasty to him, especially if I know the guy's coming off an injury.
Yeah, no, I wasn't debating that you would be nasty to him. I was saying that there will be the fans that only care about now because this Indian season is boiled. Hold on, think about this season, and we've talked about this throughout the year. Because of this joke of a division, because they've had a playoff a bid basically sealed for the last, 3 months, the only thing that matters with this Indians team is what they do in the playoffs, and that's part of what happens when you lose last year the way you did. People are not going to – if Corey Kluber could finish in the top three in the Cy Young Award, he doesn't pitch well in the postseason, they're going to be looking
at
that.
It won't be hunky-dory. I can guarantee you that. The shine is off of everything. You've won the divisions already. You've got the 22-game winning streak already. You've won 100-plus games already. You got the guys who are MVP candidates already. So all that's done. The only thing left to do is to win a World Series. You've played in a Game 7 before. So anything less than a World Series now, yes, will absolutely be a disappointment. But when I parcel that disappointment out and I really start to think about it, I can envision right now Trevor Bauer being very low on the list of reasons why you lost or low on the list of reasons that you're upset with the Indians for losing in that moment. I can think of a lot of different other reasons for it. And plus, for all these people, you might have to have your comeuppance with me as well because they didn't trade for Manny Machado. And one of the big things was about with people because they wanted to keep Shane Bieber. And you might have some outings here with Shane Bieber in the postseason that things are going to have to be helped with. So if he ends up being the next Jarrett Wright out of this, hopefully it does end up that way.
I don't think we're going to be seeing Bieber in the postseason starting.
Well, you would probably see who? You would see Carrasco, Kluber, Carrasco, and then Clevinger.
Yeah.
If you had to see Bieber and Bieber had a good outing, I'd be more than happy to apologize to everybody out there who loved him. I have to point that out. 216-578-0092. We'll get back to the Indians coming up right after Alex Hooper at 8:05. He'll talk Tribe with us, our Indians beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. Coming up at 7:05, your chance to win $1,000 in the Pigskin Payout. Coming up next, I'm going to get hammered for this, but I got to say it. If we're going to get anything accomplished this season, we got to cut Hugh Jackson a little slack. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.